But I want to give you kind of a precursor before we move into worship about what's going to happen over the next few weeks. You know, a few weeks back, we started a series on what? God is love. And as I was going through that series, and last week we got to 1 Corinthians 13, very popular passages of Scripture about love, right, from Paul. So as we begin looking at that, as I was thinking about, you know, what we're going to do going into Easter, God kind of smacked me on the back of the head and said, it's right there in front of you, okay? So if you remember the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says this, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So here, Paul identifies three lasting characteristics of a life that's being transformed by God. Okay? Faith, hope, and love. He also explains that these three godly virtues work together to sustain the believer. Or as he says in that verse there, they abide with us. They abide with the believer. So, I got to thinking about that, and I said, thank you, Lord. Sometimes you make this easy for me. And so we learned from our last series that love is the greatest, right? Because it's the most visible. And you remember we talked about that last week. People can see love in us. Or guess what? They can not see love in us. It's supposed to be what all of our relationships feel, right? Love is the clearest expression of God's character in his people, in us. And while love is the greatest, Paul wants us to understand that it does not exist on its own. It comes from this deeper place, this deeper foundation. So analyzing that trio of attributes that we just talked about, what? Faith, hope, and love, will teach us some things. As we analyze that, I think we need to go backwards, y'all. We started with love, so we're going to start a new series this morning called God of Hope. So God is love, but God is a God of hope. And guess what? Do we need hope in our world? And this is actually kind of going to be a hard series for me to preach, and I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes I feel like that's all I've got is hope. And I'm being honest with you guys. Like when I think about tomorrow, I hope Jesus comes. I mean, I do. If I think about the next day, man, I hope Jesus comes. I think about the people that I love, that I know were Christians and have left this world. You know what? I hope to see them again. So it might be a little hard to preach through, but man, I'm going to enjoy it. And I hope you will too. And I just want to say a few more things about it. But beneath love is hope. And as I talk about this, I hope you get this image of this flower, y'all. Okay? Of a flower growing. But beneath love is hope. Hope is a quiet confidence that God's future is secure, that his promises are trustworthy, and that his kingdom is coming. I can't help but hope. Hope is what keeps love steady when life is heavy. Hope is what allows love to endure all things, believe all things, and bear all things. You know I was going to give you a plaque you see hanging on the wall all the time, but that's true. It's true. Without hope, love becomes vulnerable. With hope, love becomes resilient. Oh, and then what's beneath hope? Faith. Beneath hope is faith, and that is our trust in who God is. What he has said, what he has done in Christ Jesus, and what he is doing in us through his Holy Spirit. Faith anchors us. Faith steadies us. Faith is the deep root structure from which hope grows and then love blossoms. So as we inch closer to Easter, which is the day when God's faithfulness, our hope, and his love meet in the empty tomb, we're going to walk backward through Paul's words. We begin with love because that's where Paul ends and where God receives all the glory. And in this series, we're going to step into hope, which is the support and strength that lies beneath our love. And then finally, when we get to Easter, beginning on Easter Sunday, we're going to arrive at faith. Which for us, and for you, if you're in this room, if you're a Christian, it's the catalyst for who we are. It's the foundation for who we are as Christians. And believe it or not, if you don't believe in an empty tomb, you can't be a Christian. And it's the foundation of who we are. So my prayer over these next 4 weeks is that God will rebuild something in us, redo something in us. Maybe he'll renew our hope, deepen our faith, enlarge our love, so that when we stand at the empty tomb on Easter morning, we'll stand not only as people who believe that the resurrection happened, but we'll stand as people who live in the power of it. You know I was going to preach to start today, did you? But I hope you don't see that as a sermon. I just wanted to lay out where we're going. And I hope, I really do, I've been praying all this week. Lord, just help us. You know, help us be stronger in our faith. And out of that, renew our hope. Help us wake up every day and not see all the stuff that's easy to see, and keep our hope in the one that we believe in, that we trust. And when those things are present, guess what? Man, we'll love like we've never loved before. And that excites me. And my prayer for you is I hope that you get excited about that too. So before we actually open a word, the word, I want to invite you to settle your mind. And I look around the room, some of you, I can see it now. It's like a hamster on a wheel. You got stuff just all over the place. Just take a deep breath and let it settle. Quiet your mind. Open your heart. Ask the Lord right now today to begin the work in us, the work in you that needs to take place. Because here's the thing, I can come in here every Sunday morning and I can open the word, I can teach the word. But if you aren't prepared to receive what God has for you, then you're wasting your time, just to be honest with you. And I don't want you to do that. So as we prepare to worship, and I'm going to ask Jackie to come up to lead us, just clear your mind, open your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to start speaking right now as we worship together. Jackie. So as I already mentioned, guess what we're going to talk about beginning today? We're going to talk about hope. Today we're going to talk about hope promised. And if we're honest, hope is one of those words we toss around without thinking. Have you ever said this? Boy, I hope this works out. I said that about these messages. I'm just playing. With God, I know they're going to work out. Maybe you've said this, boy, I sure do hope things get better. Y'all probably going to say that about this message. No. Or you might say something like this, boy, I hope tomorrow's easier than today. You ever said that? I think at points in our life, we've all made statements such as those. But here's something about that. Those type of statements, we say them without thinking, but they're unstable. There's no stability. There's no trust. There's no faith when we make those statements. Because we're taking it from a negative viewpoint instead of a positive viewpoint. You know, we're looking at it and we say, man, I hope that works out. Well, I hope today gets better. I hope tomorrow's better than today was, you know. So those kind of statements rise and fall with circumstances. They rise and fall with our emotions. And it depends on outcomes that we can't even control most of the time. But men, boy, we like to try to control them, don't we? It's the kind of hope that keeps us checking our phones. I don't have mine. Or looking what? At our watches, smart watches today, right? Or it keeps us constantly refreshing our email. And I'm probably saying some things, you might not be that way today, but at some point in time in your life, you probably were like that, right? It's the kind of things that make us replay conversations over and over in our heads. You ever done that? You know, we do those things because deep down, we're not sure how things will turn out. Biblical hope, however, is much different. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. Biblical hope is not crossing your fingers and hoping for the best. Remember doing that as a kid? You know, cross your fingers. You used to do that too. We thought that'd keep us from telling a lie, right? Hop, cross my fingers, right? But biblical hope is not like that. Biblical hope is confident trust rooted in the faithfulness of God. Confident trust rooted in the faithfulness of God. Now, as we begin this journey, this four-week journey towards Palm Sunday, we're going to begin where Scripture always starts, and that's with God's promises, the promises of God, hope promised. Before hope is even felt, guess what? It's spoken. Before hope is ever experienced, it's revealed. Hope comes directly from God, who makes the promises, and then guess what? Keeps them. He keeps them. So as we begin looking at Scripture, we're going to start in Jeremiah. And we're just going to look at a few verses there, and it's going to be very familiar with you when I read this. But hope, one of the things I want you to see is that hope is born out of God's faithfulness. It's born in God's faithfulness to us. In Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14, and again, this should be familiar to you. Verse 10 says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." And here's what will be familiar, right? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Excuse me. "Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Now, when we hear Jeremiah 29, many of us immediately recognize verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you." Remember, I mentioned a plaque earlier. Some of you may have that as a plaque in your home. It's a very popular verse, but it's a very encouraging verse, isn't it? But, And that's the reason I read 10 through 14. We hear that verse, but we forget at that moment where God's people were at when he said those words. They were in exile. They weren't in a good place. They were far from home. They were under foreign rule. They were discouraged. They were confused. They were wondering if God maybe had forgotten about them. And perhaps you're sitting here this morning with some of those same thoughts. But in that moment, in their situation, in their pain, in their confusion, in their discouragement, God speaks a promise. And it was up in verse 10 where he says, when 70 years are completed, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise. Well, gee, Lord, don't get in any hurry. Right? Wouldn't that be our attitude? Do you think that might have been their attitude too? 70 years, y'all, that's a lifetime. I mean, I'm standing up here at 53 years old. I'd still be waiting. Yeah. But here's the thing. God knows their situation. He knows their struggles. He doesn't deny their hardship. He doesn't pretend that exile isn't painful. He doesn't step in and say, all right, come on, cheer up. You can do this. No, he doesn't do those things. Sometimes pastors have a way of making or turning God or turning Jesus or turning the Holy Spirit into a motivational speaker. Can I just tell you this? He can be motivational, but he's not a motivational speaker. When he says he's going to do something, he does that. So he doesn't give them some meaningless motivational mumbo jumbo. And can I be honest with you? If you really listen to the Word, you really listen to the Holy Spirit, you really listen to what God is saying to you and doing in your life, he's not giving you mumbo jumbo. Instead, he anchors their hope, he's anchoring your hope by reminding them of his long-term purposes. What can we learn from this? First, the hope God gives is firm. It doesn't change. It can be trusted. Second, hope doesn't deny reality. You know why I press into the hope? And I said earlier, hope's all I got. Because I understand the reality of the world we live in. Hope helps us understand it better. And then thirdly, hope declares that God is still working. Aren't you glad about that? Because the Israelites in that moment, I'm sure they thought, well, God must quit on us. But did he quit on them? He just understood the long-range plan where they didn't. And he came back in verse 10 and he says, what? When 70 years are completed, I will come to you and fulfill my promise. It's hard to think about, y'all, but I am thankful that God has a plan and it's not mine. Even if that means I got to wait a while for him to fulfill a promise. Now, some of you, and I already mentioned this, may be here this morning much like the Israelites. You're living in your own kind of exile right now. I promise you, you're not alone. Maybe you're waiting for some diagnosis, or you're praying for that prodigal child. Maybe you're just carrying a burden that no one else knows about. Some of you may be even wondering if God still has a plan for you. If so, the words from this passage this morning ought to encourage you. It ought to remind you that God fulfills his promises. The words of this passage help us understand that God's promises are not canceled by our current situation or our current season. Now, y'all may find this hard to believe, because I'm usually a pretty chipper person. But I'm not always that way. Sometimes I find myself in a season like we've been talking about. And you know what always brings me out of that? Someone will say something. I will read something from the Word. I'll hear a song play. Or somebody might not even say anything, but just come up and just say, you look like you need a hug. You know? And what does it do? It brings me out of that junk. And it gives me a hope. It reminds me of the promises of God. It also teaches me things like waiting does not mean abandonment. Sometimes God waits because it's not time in the plan. Or sometimes God waits because he wants us to learn something. But it is absolutely not abandonment. Delay does not mean denial. The Israelites, you know, they probably thought, well, where's he at? Doesn't mean denial. God says what? I know the plans I have for you. Look at that. It's on the screen. Does it say, I'm figuring out your plans, Jeff? Give me a second. Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, I'm going to improvise it. I'm going to wing it, right? I'm going to fake it till I make it, Suzanne. Right? I don't see that there. But what I see there is it says, and this is God speaking, right? I know. I know. There's no wavering there. There's no questioning there. There's no figuring it out there. It says, I know the plans I have for you. And believing that, folks, is where hope begins. It's where hope starts. It's where hope is born. I'm going to go now to one verse in Romans 15, verse 4. This is what it says. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So we just talked about hope being promised, right? Now hope is what? Sustained by God's word. And have I ever told y'all to read this? Do you know how many times I've been discouraged? And I don't even want to read this. And I tell you this all the time, don't do it to check a box, don't do it out of obligations, but sometimes I feel that way too. But God knows the timing, right? And I've been discouraged before, and I haven't even wanted to open my word. And what I get here to the office or even at home and or on my phone or something, and I see the word. You know, like a text or a reminder from the Bible app will say the verse of the day. And I'm like, God, I don't want the verse of the day. You ever been like that? And then you sit down and you open the word, and he takes you right to something that fixes that. It's the medicine I need, right? Verse 14 right there says, through endurance, through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. If you remember from our previous series, the Bible is not just a book filled with information. Some people teach that it's just a bunch of information, right? It's way more than that, y'all. And I don't know if you know this or not. We talk about God's plan. We just looked at the verse talking about he knows the plans for us. Guess what part of the plan is? That's why he gave us this word. The word is part of God's plan. And yes, he gives us information in it, but I want to take the IN off that. This is used for formation. Think about it. God's word is for our formation. The scriptures shape us. They strengthen us. They encourage us. And then they train us. And I know y'all. Some of y'all need training. And I say that lovingly, though, because we all really need training. If you want to know what God has promised you, read your Bible. Read your Bible. And when you read your Bible and when you read about the promises that's already been fulfilled in scriptures, oh, by the way, Jesus is one of those, by the way. But when you read about the promises already fulfilled in scripture, you know what it does? It becomes fuel for the hope that God gives us today. And I hope y'all know this about me, but I don't bring politics into anything. And it'd be real easy to do that, and a lot of people will do that. But I don't want harm to come to anyone. But those things don't stress me out. You know why? Because I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They just don't stress me out like it does some people. Because my hope is not in this world. My hope is, and I love the United States. I'm a former military soldier. My hope is not in the United States. My hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And on Him I will stand. So when you read your word and you read about fulfilled promises and you read about how God brought people through hardship, that's the hope that ought to fuel you. That's the truth that ought to drive you. And then you read, go back and you read Jeremiah 29 that we just read. And you say, and you read that word, it says, I know the plans I have for you. Thank you, Jesus. Because I don't have a clue outside of you. Do you know when God parted the Red Sea, He was teaching you, He was teaching us, that He can make a way even in what seems impossible. You think about that story? They were all standing in circles. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And God just says, this is what we're going to do. He turned their lack of hope into victory and freedom and filled with hope. When God fed Elijah with ravens, you ever read that story? When God fed Elijah with ravens, He was showing us that He can provide in impossible places. When God raised Lazarus, He was showing us that He can bring life where death has taken over. You know, the Bible can be a lot of different things for us. But know this, the Bible is a record of God's faithfulness. So that when your hope is weakened and it feels weak, you can look back and you can remember He has never failed His people. And some of you need to hear this. His people, right? He has never failed His people, and He's not going to start with you. He's not going to start now with you. If you love Him, if He's your everything, if He's your all in all, guess what? He fulfills His promises. And the promises that I talk about, that we study about, that we read about in His Word, guess what? They're true. They're faithful because He is faithful. So sometimes we just need to return to the Word. And can I have a moment of confession? I'm behind on my annual reading plan. Not because I've been busy, I have, but because a couple weeks back I was in one of them seasons where I was like, I just can't do this today. But can I just say this? It's okay. It's okay. I'm not beating myself up over it, other than the fact that God reminded me of this. Sometimes I just need to go back to the Word. Why? Because I don't need it for information. I need it for oxygen. I need it to take a breath. I need it to help me breathe. Fresh breath comes from the Father. Holy breath comes from the Father. And Scripture, I don't know if you have picked up on this, but it constantly, consistently conveys a message of hope. Hope is cultivated when we get engaged with the Word. Scripture helps keep us alive, helps keep hope alive. So I started by asking that question. So now I'm going to answer it myself. Yes, I tell you all the time, read your Bible. Read your Bible. The last part of this morning's message I want to point out to you is that hope sticks to the character of God. We talked about the character of God a lot in our last series, right? But hope holds fast to God's character. Over in Hebrews verse 23, the writer of Hebrews says this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." We must hold on to hope, y'all. Is life predictable? It's not. So we don't hold on to hope because it's predictable. We know that's not true. We hold on to our hope because God is faithful. 70 years and I will fulfill my promises. Did he fulfill the promises? Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember, hope is not anchored in the outcomes. Hope is anchored in the one who never changes. This same writer, the writer of Hebrews, offered these words about our Lord: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Talk about a scripture to give you hope. The world around us changes every second. Every second. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Circumstances shift. Emotions rise and fall. For some of y'all, that probably happened on the way to church. People disappoint. People will disappoint. Plans unravel. But God remains the same. God remains faithful. When we speak about biblical truth, and the Bible's full of theological God truths, this is one of the ones that we cannot miss, y'all. When you can't see a way forward, God is faithful. Remember, I know the plans I have for you. When we can't see a way forward, God is faithful. When prayers seem unanswered, God is faithful. When the future feels uncertain, God is faithful. It is in this truth that hope is born. Hope is not a feeling you chase. Hope is not dreaming of something better. Hope is the confident expectation that God will fulfill his promises, because he is faithful. I've often thought about it in these terms. All throughout biblical history, all throughout the history of mankind, God says, I'm going to do this. Take time out of that equation, right? God says, I'm going to do this. Guess what he does? What he says he's going to do. So, why would I say, well, I know you've done all those things in the past, God, over and over and over and over. Why would I look at that and say, well, I'm not going to trust that anymore? Instead, I ought to look at that and say, man, why would I not trust that God's going to do what he said he's going to do? So as we begin our walk, our journey toward Easter, I thought it was appropriate that we start with this simple but life-changing truth. Hope begins in God's promises. Not with our feelings, not with our circumstances, not with our predictions about the future, but with his promises. His promises. And his word tells me that if I believe in his son Jesus Christ, and I believe that his son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross on my behalf to offer forgiveness for my sins, and that he went to the tomb and carried all that with him, and that God raised him back from the dead so that I could have eternal life. And then in the scripture said he done all those things for you. He done all those things for me. Then why wouldn't I trust that? Why wouldn't I believe that? Why wouldn't I put my hope in that? God always keeps his word, even if the fulfillment takes time. Now, the things I've said this morning, I've already put my faith in those things. So what's my hope now? My hope now is in one of his other promises that says one day he's going to send his son Jesus Christ back to get me. And I don't know the timeline. He hasn't come out and said in 70 years. Matter of fact, he said we're not going to know the day or the time or the hour, right? He says that. And he's not doing that to be mean. No. He's doing that because he understands the plan. He knows the future. So what do I have to do in the meantime? I have to trust that he said he's going to send his son back, and then I just have to wait. And I have to wait with excitement. I have to wait with anticipation. I have to do what? Hope that it's tomorrow. Hey, I'll even go further. I hope it's when we walk out those doors. Because, and here's the thing. You say, well, why are you making such a big deal out about that? Because what he's got waiting is so much better than what I got now. And you say, well, that's awful mean to say about your people and your family and your loved ones. No, because I can stand here and say that my loved ones are all saved and they're going to go with me. I got some that aren't, but I'm talking about my wife and my children. And I can't wait, y'all. And part of the reason I can't wait is because I know it's true. God said it, so it's true. So my hope is built on nothing less. Y'all know that. God always keeps his word, even if the fulfillment takes a little time. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold fast. Don't let go. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Y'all ever seen that t-shirt? It's got that little bird that's all frazzled, lost all its feathers, and it says, don't give up. Just don't. When this world's turned you into that little cartoon character that looks like that, and that's how you feel, just go to the word. Go to your knees. Go to your brother and sister in Christ and say, hey, I'm struggling. And let the Holy Spirit, let the word, let everything that God gives us pour into you and do what? Give you some hope. And when you get that hope, hang on to it. Grab a hold of it. Hold it tight. Why? Because God is the promise maker. And he's the promise keeper. He won't forget you. And he definitely, without a doubt, will not break a promise. And our hope begins in his promises. Whew. I'm excited, y'all. Will you stand? And before we play this, I walked in. Jackie was in here, and he was getting music ready. And he said, I got called in. You know, he's on call. And he had the playlist and all that stuff. And at the end, he said, I chose this for invitation. He said, but you can change it if it don't go with your message. And I saw what the song was. I said, oh, my goodness. I love it when God has a plan. I know the plans I have for you. It's not just some scripture that we memorize so that we look good. God said it, so it's true. So as we play this song, clear your mind, open your heart, and let the Spirit of God speak to you. I'll be here if you need me. Let's sing. You know that song is about a promise. God said that's what he's going to do for us. And he means it. And he means it. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your message. Lord, I pray that it penetrates our hearts. And Lord, whatever lesson that you had in store for us, I pray, God, that we learn from it. We grow from it. And that, Father, we can go out into this world and be the light that you know we need to be. Father, for those that are here this morning that just need a touch, just need a feel of your presence. I pray, God, that in the days ahead that you will do that. You will remind them of your promises. And Lord, may our hope be built on nothing but that. So God, we just thank you so much for your love, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we go from this place, we want to just say we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We pray all these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.